We're in our series, The Great I Am. We're going to be talking about living a fruitful life on the vine. We're going to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. There's a place, it's about 35 minutes southwest of London. It's a tourist attraction. It was once a royal palace. It's called Hampton Court. It was built over 500 years ago. It was a favorite residence of Henry VIII. A couple hundred years later, after it was built during the reign of George III, someone planted the shoot of a grapevine just outside the palace. And that vine, it has grown and grown over the past 250 years. It's been pampered, it's been pruned, so long that the stem, Tim, go ahead and turn some pictures, please. The stem of this grapevine, this plant, is over 13 feet in diameter. It's amazing. Get this. Despite its age, some of its branches are 120 feet long. And this is just one part of it. If you look, it goes on and on and on. It's amazing how big it is. And despite its age, this plant, it still produces somewhere between 600 and 900 pounds of grapes each and every year. Do you know that most grapevines, they expect to live 10 to 12 years, and then they're cut down and they regrow. This one is over 250 years old, and it's amazing when you think about it. Some people would say that it's the oldest living grapevine in the world. Now, if you notice, I said that some people would say that this is the oldest grapevine in existence. But semantically, that's not 100% accurate. That's not the whole truth of it all. You see, there is a vine that's older than this vine. And that vine is Jesus. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, Jesus says, "I am the vine." I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture this morning, then we'll continue to talk about how we can have a fruitful life on the vine. Beginning at verse 1, Jesus is speaking. And he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Thank you. You may be seated. And may God bless the reading of his holy word. Thank you, Tori. Dawn. She's keeping Andrew in check over there. In our scripture this morning, in verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." And in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Throughout the Bible, God actually referred to his people as being his vineyard. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight." In Isaiah 27, verses 2 and 3, God declares, "Sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it." And when Jesus wanted to tell us about the fact that salvation, it's not based on works, he told a parable, and the parable started this way in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is God's church, and he's hired us to go and collect and to harvest. You see, those branches who belong to Jesus, those people who are saved, those who are Christians, who are Christ followers, they're the vineyards. You see, we are the branches in Jesus. He is the vine. One commentator noted that the Jews back in Jesus' day, they were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were anticipating the Messiah showing up. And one of the terms that was used to describe the Messiah was that he would be a vine. And so when Jesus stands up, when he says this, he's using this imagery that the people can understand, that they can relate to. When Jesus declared that he was the vine, he was saying to the people around him, I am the Messiah. Those who belong to me, they are the branches. And in our scripture this morning at verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, doesn't that last statement sound at least a little bit weird? Apart from Jesus, I can't do anything? Of course, I can do all things, all kinds of things apart from Jesus. Well, kind of, sort of, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says it a little bit differently. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Notice that your labor in the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not that you cannot do stuff. It's not that you cannot do labor. You can certainly do that. It's just that without Jesus, all of that labor is in vain. It's kind of like the parable that Jesus told about the two men who were out building their houses. It's found in Matthew chapter 7. And one of the men, he built his house on a rock. And in verse 25, it tells us that the rain came and the storms rose and the winds blew and it beat against the house. And yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The man who built his house on the rock, he did not build in vain. It was able to withstand. But you see, there was this second man. And the second man, he built his house on the sand. And at verse 27, Jesus says, the rain came down and the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. The man who built his house on the sand, he built in vain. The house came down. And the verse sandwiched between those two, Jesus says at verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. You see, what the foolish man built was in vain, because without Jesus, you cannot do anything that's going to last. There are people in the world, and we put priorities on things that are of high interest to us, things that we really are interested in. You know, we want to meet the right girl or the right guy, the person of our dreams. We want to be seen as good people who are out doing good things. We want to live a long and fruitful life, you know, live long and prosper. Almost everyone wants to bear fruit that's going to last. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But you see, without Jesus, it's all in vain. It's not going to last if Jesus is not behind it, if Jesus is not the one that's spurring you to do that. And that's what Jesus meant when he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. You see, without Jesus, we cannot live a fruitful life. In the end, it's all going to disappear. But why is it all about Jesus? Why can't I have a fruitful life without him? Well, do you know that it's all summed up at the communion table? We'll be taking communion next week. Maybe you'll think about this while we're taking communion. It was at the Last Supper. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. And he took the cup. It was filled with wine. We use grape juice nowadays and stuff. But Jesus took this cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus, he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He shed his blood to cover our guilt and our shame. And the juice, when we take that juice, it represents his blood that was shed. The point is this, without the fruit, without the shedding of that blood, we don't have eternal life. There's not the forgiveness. And if we don't have that eternal life, when we die, everything that we have ever done in this life dies along with us. We will literally have lived a fruitless life. But in order to have a fruitful life, Jesus says that somehow I must bear fruit, fruit that will last. But what kind of fruit does Jesus have in mind? Well, Jesus says in verses 8 and 10, 8 through 10 of our scripture this morning, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Down just a couple verses farther, in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, Jesus then goes on and he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. It was some time ago, and someone did a survey of Americans, and they found out that 40% of Americans believe in love at first sight. What they're really saying is that they believe that love is an emotion. But the kind of love that Jesus is speaking about, it goes way beyond just emotion. The kind of love Jesus is talking about is a kind of love that is put into action. It is a verb. It is an action. He's talking about laying down our lives for each other. Now, Thomas A. Kempis, he read this scripture and several other scriptures. And he summed it up and he put it this way. Whoever loves much does much. You see, that's what a fruitful life looks like. But how can Jesus make it so that my life will be fruitful? What can he add to my life that will make a difference in how I live my life? Well, the first thing that Jesus does is he prunes us. In verse 2 of our scripture, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. One expert noted that vines will produce branches that are called sucker shoots. These shoots, they never ever bear fruit. They simply suck away the nutrients. All they ever do is they produce leaves. And so a skilled gardener goes and he cuts off those shoots because they're unproductive. And they rob the vine of its life-giving nutrients. But not only do the gardeners prune off and get rid of those sucker shoots, but they also cut away all of the dead wood. Because the dead wood, it can harbor insects and disease. It can cause the vine to rot. But in addition to doing both of those, all of that, they even at times prune the live wood. You know, the good stuff. In order to prevent the lifeblood of the vine going into the wood instead of into the fruit. In the early spring, if you ever go by a vineyard, go down Napa or maybe down I-5 and you see these vineyards. And man, all you see is a bunch of stumps, these barren stumps. They look like nothing. But by the end of the season, in fall, they're filled with grapes because they've been pruned. And in times of crisis, things that we've been in, for this past year, we've been in this pandemic. God has the opportunity to do a lot of pruning. You see, how we respond to crisis, how we respond to some of these things, determines how attached we are to Jesus. And over this past year, we have been in various levels of openness or closeness, so much so where there's only a few of us in here, and you have to worship from online, you have to join us online. We've been able to open up and get more and more people, then close down and then get more and more people. When you have to join us online, you have to do your own Christianity. You have to be the one to actually make it a point to get onto Facebook and to worship with us and to join with us. You've got to do your own faith at times, because things are not always just presented there for you. That in and of itself is not a bad thing. It prunes us back, allows us to evaluate our own Christianity, our own walk with Jesus. Where are we at with Jesus? But you see, the second way that Jesus helps us to produce fruit is through his teachings. When Jesus told the parable of the two men who built their house, one on the rock and one on the sand, he describes the man who built his house on the rock this way, verse 24. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You see, if you want to have a fruitful life, then you need to listen to Jesus and you need to obey him. You need to follow his word. Now, earlier in Jesus' ministry, Peter actually says to Jesus in John chapter 6 at verse 68, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus has the words of eternal life. Not just words about how we should do things, how we should live our lives, but words that actually give us eternal life. Now, bear in mind, I understand the entire Bible is God's word. It's Jesus' word. But if you ever have a red letter edition of the Bible, you can see what Jesus actually says. But what were Jesus' words while he was here on earth that tell us how we can lay hold of eternal life? Well, here's a few verses. In John chapter 6 at verse 40, Jesus said, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." You see, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." You see, in order to attach ourselves to Jesus, in order to be a branch on the vine, we need to lay hold of eternal life. We need to acknowledge that we have sinned. We need to repent from our sins and decide that we're not going to live that way anymore. We are going to follow after Jesus and listen to him. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me," in other words, those who confess Jesus, those who acknowledge that Jesus is their Lord and Master, he says he will acknowledge us before his Father. But he also says, "Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And finally, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, Jesus says, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life." You see, these are the people who, once they have decided to attach themselves to the vine, once they have decided to follow after Jesus, they are so committed to Jesus that nothing else matters. You realize it's actually fairly simple. Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, acknowledge that he owns you, that he is your master. Be more committed to him than anything else in your life, and everything else will fall into place. You see, you cannot earn salvation. There is nothing that you can do. You cannot do enough good things to purchase your way into heaven. But you can receive it simply by attaching yourself to Jesus, by believing in him and following after him, and receiving his free gift. You see, Jesus, he is the vine. And if we're following after him, we are the branches. But the question is, are we living a fruitful life on the vine?